Shameless Media.
This episode of Everybody Has a Secret is brought to you by Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. Set your New Year intentions and refresh your Hinge profile using the "This Year I Want To" prompt. Ever wondered if someone's having an affair, if their money is a little suspicious, or if the rumours about their family are true? We think everybody is carrying around a secret. And this show, well, it's all about spilling them.
Sorry, what's that? We hear in the distance?
Oh, it's our shushies running to listen to this episode because it's the final episode of the year. Do you not hear the stampede outside the vault? Welcome back to Everybody Has a Secret. It's Louie, Belly, and Rubes here, obviously.
Hey, Shushi. I just turned my headphones up. I realised I want to hear so much more.
Yes.
Today's final episode of the year.
It is our final episode of the year.
I'm actually like feeling really emotional.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know like some of this episode later on will be more of a reflective episode, but my God, what a year it's been.
What a year it's been. I mean, last week I listened back to the very first episode of the year.
Yeah. I did this morning.
Yeah, and what an incredible exercise that was. Obviously, that was the first ep with us going weekly, with me being a co-host. Obviously, producer Rubes entering the vault for the first time.
Sharing a story about her tattoo.
Oh my God. Guys, that episode, though, I was a shy girl. We edited in giggles.
I didn't know that we did that.
Oh my God. Okay. Shushies, get this. Like, Belly and I only found this out last week, but apparently laughs were edited into that first episode.
I was silent. I think it was like, wait, is there a producer in the room
or not? Take me back to the decision making of that. Because did you just come back into the studio and just like record yourself laughing and then inserting it back into the episode?
Yeah, I did.
What the fuck?
Yeah, with Michelle. Michelle. I was like, sorry, I was a bit shy on the first ep. Guys, I was sweating bullets like on that first ep talking about the tattoo. And, you know, it was a new thing. But God, look at us now. Look at me now. I don't shut the fuck up. Sorry.
Now we're being told to edit out our laughs because we're being too silly. But wait. This needs more airtime. You're telling me you sat your ass back down in the vault and then went like this. 3, 2, 1, record. Yes. Cut. I'm going to use that for the episode. Because that is insane.
That's actually so iconic. And the fact, what's more iconic is the fact that you and I, Louie, didn't know about it. Like, yeah. I listened back to that first episode and I was like, I love the vibes. It's amazing. We're all like natural as a three together. Oh. Little did I know that Miss Ruby was editing in her own laughs and I love it.
Shy girl things. Yeah. It's amazing to look back and reflect on it all. But we will a bit later in the app. Lots of reflection.
Yeah. Lots of reflection because I think that was like one of the first things I noted was that producer Rubes was just so polite at the start.
And then slowly the layers of the onion were peeled and now we have Miss Ruby Hall on the mic. Oh.
And also, we didn't have a name for our listenership yet, our community. And so it was really funny because we were like, you could tell that we were craving that connection. We were like, we know that the love is there. And so to just see this like evolution of Shushi Nation, Shushi Hive kind of show up in full force is just testament to how incredible this year's been.
I don't remember a time pre-Shushi, pre-Vault. That only happened that election in August.
Mm.
And it's felt like we've been a Shushi community for August. The whole year. I know.
Far out.
Regardless, it's been weeks and weeks since that first episode.
Yeah.
And my God, I can't wait to fully reflect on all of it. We will be taking a 2-week break.
Yes.
So this will be our last episode, as we've said so many times, of the year. We also have some very exciting news, Shushis.
We do. Like, we couldn't record a final episode of the year without hitting you with some very, very fun news for 2025.
You've handed it over to me to say it, and that's exciting. All right. So we've hinted at it before, but EHAS live shows will be happening in March.
They're locked in.
So March will be the month that
live shows
will be happening in both Sydney and Melbourne. So the Sydney date is Wednesday, the 5th of March.
Nice.
And then we'll be coming to Melbourne on Saturday, the 22nd of March. Tickets are live on Friday, the 20th of December at 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Yes!
Yes, so depending on when you listen to this, tickets could already be out if you're listening in the afternoon. Obviously, that's how time works. Or if you're listening on your commute in the morning, they will be out in, you know, a matter of hours or whatever. But link will be in the show notes. It's all over our socials.
Melbourne, Sydney, March. It's going to be incredible. We have so many amazing ideas and some fun ways of just, I don't know, meeting you all, interacting with everyone.
Yeah.
And just making it the best shows ever.
The ideas have been like fully flowing and it's the end of the year and we're all kind of a bit run down. So like imagine when we come back next year.
Oh,
it's
going
to be like, whoa. We are so excited to see Shushies in person.
I can't wait. And also, like, I really want to do, like, Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane, Gold Coast. And I think that will definitely be on the agenda as well at some point down the line.
Yeah.
Like, we truly just want to meet Shushies all across the nation.
But no pressure. That is really dependent on how hard you guys go with these tickets. So link in show notes
exactly.
Again.
Show some love for Melbourne and Sydney. Yeah. And it'll show the higher-ups that we need to do a full cross-country tour.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Cross-country tour.
Oh, my God. We should get, like, a van. And, like, oh.
Truly.
Stop. Us on tour. I can't even deal. I can't.
We need our tour buses.
Yeah. I'll drive it.
Oh, producer Ruby's behind the wheel.
Actually, you said to me yesterday, this is what Ruby said to me yesterday. I was driving her somewhere and she was like, I haven't driven since I've come to Melbourne, which is a full year. So no offense, don't trust you in the car.
I wouldn't trust me on these Melbourne streets or Sydney.
Regardless, I would love that to happen eventually.
Yes.
A national tour on the road. It would be so great to like one day make content out of that, but I really am getting ahead of myself. We could do like a fucking like reality TV E-House Shushi Vault Tour thing.
There is just so much fun to be had.
Yeah.
In Melbourne, it'll be a Capitol Theatre, which will be incredible. Sydney Factory Theatre, two great venues. Shall we stage dive?
Oh my goodness.
That's actually crowd surf. It's so funny because I'm pretty sure there's like a bit of distance between the stage and the seats. So we have to get a real runner up. And Felicia's.
If anyone could catch us, it's our Shushies.
It's our Shushies.
In the vault. Well, guys, we thought we'd end the year on a bang.
Whoa.
So,
lovely.
To get into, you know, our final episode, we asked the Shushies for a couple of unhinged Christmas party stories.
Yes. I was told to do a call out. I haven't read any of these,
yeah,
but I'm excited to hear who came through.
Well, we're going to start with the first one right now. It came from Linda. It's just a short mini one.
Mini ones.
Mini. We've just had our work Christmas party at a rooftop bar. The bathrooms had full-length windows overlooking the rooftop. A new couple in our office clearly decided to get some Christmas party action in the toilets. They ended up doing the vertical dance of love right in front of said windows in full view of the party. Apparently, they thought it was just a mirror. Dead.
Those interrogation rooms where it's fully see-through. The vertical dance of love.
The vertical dance of love. The vertical, normalize saying the vertical dance of love in all of 2025.
Term. I am so obsessed with that. A part of me wants to call this episode the vertical dance of love, but I know we won't.
I mean, you know how I feel, and I say this time and time again, you know how I feel about office Christmas parties,
yeah,
and alcohol.
No. Yes, things happen. Yes, that can be avoided if we pull back, but then we wouldn't have stories like this to talk about on the pod, so I am slightly glad that...
Yeah.
You guys have mixed party, work, alcohol, because it's like, oh, that's fun. Vertical dances of love.
Yeah, incredible story.
How does it even work, the vertical dance of love? Like, that's going to take some effort. And like mid-Christmas party? Wait, are you kidding?
Are we talking about explaining
the intricacies?
Are they both vertical, right? Yeah.
Well, obviously someone's like a bit more bent over.
I thought they were both someone's up higher and like they're like squished against
someone's
each other.
Someone's a bit more like
shower sex vibe.
Like seaty.
Okay, so let's have a chat about the birds and the bees. So.
All right, we'll move on to the next one.
How are they fucking?
Are they both standing?
That sounds like my worst nightmare. Okay, the next one is from Emma. About a year ago, I instantly connected with my work crush. Let's call him Jamie. Oh, God, crushing on someone at work. I fell for Jamie straight away.
Sounds like you've been through it.
Yeah. I fell for Jamie straight away, only for him to tell me a month into our friendship that he had a girlfriend. It all came to a head at our work Christmas party last weekend. For context, we share this weird unspoken attraction. He would often open up about how things weren't great with his girlfriend, which gave me hope.
Oh,
no.
It's that old chestnut.
No. Yeah. And we've even shared a couple of cute moments, going so far as kissing on nights out. In brackets, don't judge me, please. Everyone at work has been telling me that he's obsessed with me, and I've just had to nod and smile. So last weekend at our work Christmas party, I confessed to Jamie that I believed we were right for each other, but it was just the wrong time. He looked at me dead in the eyes and said, "No, absolutely not." I can't with Jamie, hey. I accused him of lying and ran off in tears. I'm unsure where we stand now, as I genuinely think he's lying to me and hiding how he truly feels. It's been an awkward Monday, that's for sure. Lol.
I love how Emma's like, he looked me dead in the eyes and said, absolutely not. I think he's lying.
He just doesn't understand his own feelings. Yeah. No, Jamie just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, Jamie's cheating on his girlfriend with you. Oh, like, you guys kiss.
Yeah,
like,
that's kiss.
Not good. I think, like, this is so corporate coded. I have heard so many stories like this where men just, like, there are no rules when it comes to work parties and, like, doing things outside of hours with work people. Emma, I wouldn't go there. I mean, I know you already semi-have, but, like, dear God, Jamie, he sounds like bad news.
Yeah, the fact that, like, you've obviously opened up to each other and you have kissed, like, cheating has occurred.
Yeah.
But he refuses to call a spade, I mean, you have to run.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to do? Wait around? Like, yeah. No. Take him at face value and he's looked you dead in the eyes and said no. Regardless of whether he's telling the truth or he's lying, he's looked at you and said no. You have to leave.
That is like enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
You've got to read what he's saying and take it at face value.
You know the exact moment that Emma was pining for.
Yeah.
She wanted that rom-com moment of like at the end of the movie, you run to each other. It's like at The Notebook.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like, I know we can't be together right now, but we'll always be together. And you're expecting that same energy. But for him to just turn around and be like, what? No.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Aww.
And like, Emma.
The fact that he's willing to deliver it so bluntly and to hurt your feelings like
totally.
That, like regardless of any of it, the intention, he's clearly just like not a good egg.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And yeah. So gently, Emma, we know you have feelings and that's really hard. But given that he has a girlfriend, he said no, I think we just got to call it a quits.
Yeah. I reckon we'll add him to the list on people who are barred entry into the vault.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it. Jamie added to the list.
Sweet.
Before we move on from the secrets, we actually have one final update.
Oh,
give you guys. So this update.
Is it my best friend's dad again?
No, it's not my best friend's dad. This is actually from our first episode of the year.
Oh, it's always a fucking wedding?
Yeah!
No shit.
So this landed in the inbox a little while ago. Like, I didn't even go back looking for this update. The secret keeper came back to us, Claire, we called her, and she wanted to share her update about, like, all the reflection she's had since back in April when this episode aired.
Wow.
Yeah, this also marked the start, obviously, of us releasing episodes every single week and the three of us being a trio, which is so cute.
And when producer Rubes had to record her own giggles.
We'll forever go down in history as being the funniest thing that's ever happened in the world.
That is truly the funniest thing that's ever happened.
I wish we should go back and try and find the raw recordings of you just sitting here like,
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I wish we filmed it.
Same.
Honestly, how silly. Okay, well, I'm going to quickly refresh you on a recap because this obviously was back in April and let's not, I don't really remember. So
yeah. We all know that I have the memory of a goldfish and I literally forget what we've spoken about the week prior. So. April might need to catch up.
Please. Yes. Thank you, Ruby.
And for the shushies too, this episode was titled, "It's Always a Fucking Wedding," quote by you, Louis Hansen.
Nice.
And we love it because it always is a fucking wedding or a workplace or Snapchat. All right. And yeah, shushies, if you want the secret in full, definitely go back and listen to this episode.
It's a banger. Notes,
yeah.
We're all really polite to each other.
Okay. So it was Shushy Claire's special day, but her best friend, Justine, completely derailed it. Justine, who was married at the time, began an affair the same night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It all comes flooding back.
And then there was a twist, right?
There was a twist in this one. So Claire felt really unsure about her friendship with Justine. She wasn't okay with her actions at all. And Justine's husband, Michael, had been in Claire's life for so many years too. So she naturally felt really conflicted about what to do. Michael wasn't there the night of the wedding. He had gastro.
Gastro king.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So that's sad, why Justine Michael. Was being a flirtatious gal around the wedding party, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
Yeah. Justine and Michael also have two beautiful children, so their family was also at stake here. The plot twist was that Justine cheated with Claire's quote-unquote fucking asshole loser of a brother. Yeah.
Fucking asshole loser. I remember that as well.
Oh, yeah, poetry. Simon. Yeah. Simon was his name. And Claire said that Simon was the only person she didn't adore at her wedding. Justine ended up leaving Michael, her husband, and he had no clue about the affair. So Claire didn't know whether it was her responsibility to tell him or not. You guys spoke about staying in your friend's corner. I'm not sure. Do you remember kind of what you said on this ep at all?
I think so. I think we said that it depends how Claire feels about it. Hello, Claire. How are you? It depends how Claire felt about it, because if our friend did something fucked, we'd probably just stand by them.
Yes.
Out of loyalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we just said, don't say anything.
Yeah, like maybe you'd be a little too meddlesome to say something. I think we said that before we heard the twist, that it wasn't really your business to, aside from talk to Justine about how you feel about it.
Yeah.
That's her name, right?
You did. You were like, you thought she had every right to approach Justine about her behavior. Like, this has been her best friend for life.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you were like, was it potentially crossing a line going to Michael? But you were really proud of Claire for cutting off Justine.
Mm.
And you could sense that there was like frustration in some part of Claire that wanted to do something about this, though, but you landed on setting it free, letting nature do its thing for Claire to try to move on with her life and have minimal contact with Justine and Simon, even though that would be hard because family.
Yes.
It's kind of where you guys left it. But yeah, we will get into the update right after a word from today's sponsor.
Oh my God, are we? What am I holding? Space for this sponsor. Hey, Belly, guess what?
What?
I am making a vow.
Okay.
In the new year, I'm just going to take it slow when it comes to dating.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, I was inspired by today's sponsor, Hinge, of course. How great are they?
We love them.
They're encouraging us to all revisit our dating journey from the past year, use it as a time to reflect on how we've grown, and then refresh our Hinge profile so it better represents the 2025 version of ourselves.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, 2025 vision, what's up?
It's kind of nice timing because usually the new year is about getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And this year, I'm really keen to just take the edge off.
Hey, when I think belly, I think taking the edge off. I think lax.
Lackadaisical.
Yeah,
I'm collected.
So nonchalant but intentional. Well, now you can take the edge off by answering this prompt. This year, I want to. It's a bit of New Year resolution planning, but with less pressure, Bally. Because summer holidays should be reserved for sleep-ins, casual reflection, a ponder or two, and just some easygoing dates. For me this year, I've decided that I want to date with intention. Because famously, it's something that I might not have done in the past before.
Unintentional dating.
Unintentional dating. But the roles are changing now, okay? We're flipping the scripts. I'm not here to waste time. Bally 2025, I'm dating with intention. I'm here to find the one.
Whoa, that soundbite, I'm here to find the one. Gonna listen to that on replay.
My aim is to get proposed to on the beaches of the south of France by the end of the year, okay? If that's not intentional, I don't know what is.
That's one heck of a goal.
Thank you.
I'm so with you on that. Okay, it's my turn. So Louis, this year I really want to maintain persistence with dating. Which sounds
like
it's like a lot less grand and dramatic than yours. I just want to be persistent. It's about showing up, being consistent, and not letting setbacks get in the way of finding meaningful connections.
I bloody love that. It's all about being consistent, staying open to connections, even if they don't happen overnight.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how our shushies answer this question on their Hinge profiles next year. If you're ready to start reflecting and update your profile for the new year, download the Hinge app today and see where it takes you.
Thank you so much, Hinge, for making this episode of Everybody Has a Secret possible.
All right, Ruby. So the update. I'm so fucking keen to hear whether she did confront anyone.
Yeah, I know, because so much time has passed. Like, so this much is like time. A long time.
Time is frame. So crazy. Am I right?
Yeah, it is.
Time is a scary construct.
Right? Yeah.
Did nature play its course?
Ooh. We will see. Hi, guys. Enough time has passed and the dust has settled for me to reflect on all that has happened since you spoke to my secret back in April.
April.
Firstly, thank you for the advice. Hearing thoughts from people outside my inner circle felt so therapeutic. I read the comments on TikTok and I will disclose that there is so much more context to an 11-year friendship than this one segment could cover. Some people thought I should have stood by Justine as a friend. I will preface the update by saying that this affair was the straw that broke the camel's back. I couldn't bear to excuse Justine's poor behaviour and, quite frankly, her being a shit friend, especially in the 12 months leading up to my wedding. I tried to give her advice on how to navigate the situation, such as stopping the affair until she leaves her husband, etc. But she continued lying and sneaking around with my brother Simon. Long story short, I have blocked Simon on all social media. We aren't in contact. Unfortunately, I still dread the next family gathering where we might cross paths, but that is a future me problem. As for Michael, I decided it wasn't my problem. It didn't need to come from me, and despite Justine's horrific behaviour, I didn't want to blow up her life. She has officially separated from Michael. They are living separately and learning what the new normal will look like for them both. It was a marriage that needed to end, and at this point, I don't think it benefits Michael to know the truth. I worry how it will impact the lives of their two little girls. At the end of the day, I don't want Justine's life to be difficult, and I genuinely hope she learns from her mistakes. Although, from some drip-fed information, it sounds like Justine and my brother Simon are still in contact. The hardest part of this was ending an 11-year friendship, but I knew it was the right thing to do. Justine continued to disrespect my boundaries. When I asked for space to process it all, she demanded answers and sent me long accusatory messages. There was no accountability on her end, and she continued to defend and stand by Simon after he accosted me nonstop via message too. A weight has lifted since I ended that friendship. It's opened me up to focus my energy on friendships that fill my cup and show me that I can enforce boundaries and protect myself at all costs. Just because someone is family doesn't mean they get a free pass to treat you horribly, nor does it automatically grant them forgiveness. And sometimes the length of a friendship doesn't negate the value and efforts you have to make to honour something you've outgrown. Claire.
What a lovely update. Mm. Nature seemed to have definitely healed things.
Mm.
I feel like that's the way I wanted it all to pan out. And I'm glad, even though it's hard, as she said, to break up an 11-year friendship, yeah. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad she feels more alleviated after it happened. And I'm glad she didn't end up saying anything to Michael and they just kind of broke up anyway and he could just handle that on its own.
I definitely agree. Kind of touches on what we talked about a couple of weeks back with the DNA episode about friendships and like being able to leave friendships when they don't serve a purpose anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of relates to this. Claire is proof that when a friendship doesn't serve you or a relationship doesn't serve you, you can set up boundaries and you can leave at any time.
Yeah.
Now she's benefiting from that and separating herself from all of the just the negativity in her life.
There shouldn't be in friendships that should last the long haul a camel where there are straws, like many, many straws.
No.
And we can look back at this 11-year friendship and be like, wow, what a journey, what a time. Like, it was lovely to have had this person in my life who shaped this part of my life. But now it's time to call it quits and end it. And we don't have to be like, oh, no, it all, like, destruction, blah, mess. It can just be like, lovely, and now we move on and let's, you know, focus on the friendships that do fill my cup and make me happy, where there are no camels, no straws.
Yes, absolutely. Life is too short. And I love the last line. The length of a friendship doesn't negate the value and efforts you have to make to honour something you've outgrown.
It is hard to, like, evolve through life and have your friends come with you on the journey. So I understand that this had to come to an end. And I'm glad it all kind of worked out at the end of the day.
Hmm. Yeah. It also ties back into, I feel like we talked about the let them theory on the episode.
We did love this theory.
Yeah, like earlier in the year. No matter what someone is going to do, they're going to do it. Just let them. And it almost like removes the onus away from you. And I think Claire has kind of embodied that. Claire's like, you know what? If you're going to cheat, if you're going to, you know, have an affair with each other, if you're going to be together, blah, blah, just let them and control what you can control And that is enforcing boundaries and just staying in your own lane and being like, you know what? Whatever they're going to fucking do, let them do it. I need to focus on what fills my cup.
The let them theory is a great one to bring up at this time of the year, I feel. I feel like to the people, to the shushies listening, going into the new year at the end of 2024, I feel like it is a great one to remember because you know that feeling of when you're giving a friend advice, right? And we love our friends, et cetera. But they just continue to not listen and you keep trying to like
100%
like running into a wall every single time.
Yeah.
It's a great one to remember. Hey, maybe we've said our piece, we've done enough. Let the natural progression take place and everything will be as okay as it can be at the end of the day. We don't have power over people's decisions.
No.
We can let them know our true sense and then that's kind of it. Let them be.
Yeah. Have the power over the things you control. Other people's problems like aren't your burdens.
No. Yeah, and I feel like reincorporating the let them theory into your life will make you feel more like free mentally. Coming into the new year, I feel like that's an important thing to remember.
Yes, I love that. Oh, jinx.
Synergy.
Jinx.
You know what else I love? Synergy. All right.
Synergy.
Thank you for that update, Ruby.
That's okay. And I mean, yeah, it's a bit concerning, obviously, that Simon is still related to Claire. Yeah. Like she's probably going to have to see them. But as we're saying, let them do their thing. Keep your space and distance. Yeah.
You've enforced your own boundaries. You're protecting your peace. Yeah. And for that, we stand.
We stand. We stand.
Thanks for the update, Claire.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah. And I guess while we're on this update and, you know, in a reflective mood, I mean, we've already been reflecting a bit this episode. What do you guys think you've learned from the show this year? I know that's a big question, but like, you know,
what have I learned from the episode itself or like being in this room with you guys?
Lessons learned, favorite moments, but anything that moments. I guess as well, like, has there ever been times you've actually gone like, oh, like my opinion's kind of changed or like hearing a secret or like discussing something together? Yeah, those kind of moments.
I feel like there have been a couple of times where I have maybe not or like held back my opinion or not vocalized what I truly thought and then like looked at the comment section and I would read the comments and be like, oh no, I really agree with
that's
that.
That's what I was going to say.
And that's what I was going to say. And so I think like I learned very quickly to just like literally trust my gut and my instinct. And at the end of the day, like if I feel it in my heart of hearts, well then I will say it with my chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's actually a really good one because I feel like, as people probably know, I'm someone who tends to sit on the fence. And I've always long struggled to understand whether I actually genuinely am sitting on the fence or if I'm just like, I don't want to piss people off and I don't say how I really feel because of like the TikTok comments. But ever since having you on the show, Louis, as a co-host, I feel like you bring out a side to me, which I've definitely said before, where it's like, hey, don't be scared. Whilst we talk about really serious things sometimes, let's just be real, be honest. While we're on you, Louis, some of the things that I've learned this year actually have a lot to do with things you've said. One of them being, remember that time you spoke about your dad?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, my dad has this rule where he like hugs your mum 3 times a day. Is that what it was?
Yeah, you just need 3 good hugs a day. And I don't think they do. They don't definitely don't do it anymore. Like dad was like, dad will say this profound shit and then I'll like talk about it and he'll be like, did I say that? Yeah, you did. So back in the day.
But yeah, clearly it's meant a lot to you. Mm. And it then in turn meant a lot to me when I heard that. It was just a really nice reminder. In a weird way, it was a lesson, but more of a reminder to like love people in that way, but also expect that kind of love as well. I think it came into an episode where we were like, you know, your expectations of people who you're in a relationship or whatever shouldn't be down there. Like the bar shouldn't be that low.
Yeah.
We need to expect, you know, a lot from the people who we're letting love us. Mm. And that was like a, wow, yeah, true. Coming into the new year, let us remind ourselves the bar is really high and let's keep it there.
The bar is high in 2025. High. I really appreciate that. I mean, we'd obviously been doing this for a few years, but it was always seasonal, right? So there were maybe like, I don't know, 10, 12 episodes a year. And I would come on to guest co-host for like 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And I think from like the very, very first episode, like, what, like 4 years ago now or something? 3, 4 years ago?
No way. Wow. Yeah, 2022 was our first year. So like three years ago.
Me, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
It's felt like a lifetime with you, babe.
It truly has. I think even from like that moment, we knew that we clicked in like a very special way.
Yeah.
I always had that understanding that we had this like connection and this synergy. But I think, you know, this year truly it just took things to a new level, you know? And like being like the person that I'm like my other half, like who I rely on.
It's just so nice to find someone who you can both be on a mic and also outside of the vault.
Yeah.
Have someone who's like, whoa, we align on so many things. And on that, on the vault, since having you here every week, it's been just such a beautiful thing. I was trying to think of standout moments, but oh my God, it's getting emotional.
We're spiraling.
I was trying to think of standout moments from the year, and there are so many, like, you know, the sunshine encounter.
Oh my God, that was ages
the
ago.
Sunshine
that was
encounter.
Like very early on in the year. Even like the fact that you came to the pod, Lily, and were like, we need a fucking stand name.
Yeah.
We need an election. Like so many things have happened this year that couldn't have happened in years prior simply because of the seasonal nature of the show.
Yeah.
Simply because we were having guest co-hosts, not, like, you know, an every week co-host. But in terms of the year as a whole, it's just been like such a mind-blowing experience creating a community with the two of you and having this like very easy, effortless synergy in the vault and also having a really easy, effortless like friendship with our community. It sounds so earnest and like
no, but
cringe.
It's true though. Like it's
all felt so easy.
It's felt so easy. The true highlight of the year is like the absolute strength of the bond that we feel like with you all listening at home.
Yeah.
And how it truly has evolved into something bigger than just a podcast. Like Shushy Nation. Shushy is a religion.
Oh my God. Shushy. Like Shushy. It's a part of the vocab now. Yeah.
I know. Like shout out to like the stand names that fell by the wayside, the Rubabalooies.
Oh. Which is actually the name of our group chat.
Yes.
Simply has to be.
Truly. But speaking of the third person in our triad, producer Rubes.
Oh, love you guys.
Love you so much. Looking back or listening back to that first episode was so amazing because it's just wild to think that there was a time where you weren't here with us.
Yeah.
Because truly, like, we would not be complete without you.
Oh, stop.
And I feel I always like say this to like every single person. I feel like, I don't know, like you go through this industry, right? And you do like lots of like podcasting and TV, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you meet
a lot of people, but it's so fucking rare to meet you, Rubes, and you, Belly, and for the three of us to truly have this bond that is just so fucking earnest and genuine.
Yeah.
We've come across something very, very special.
Special,
And it felt instantly real. Like the moment we got into the studio, it was like, oh, this is just so natural.
Yeah.
And since then, we've just gotten obviously so much stronger because like time is crazy.
I know. And it just feels been so like fun.
And you're not supposed to call like work people family. It's something akin to family. This feeling.
It's family.
Thank you. That's so, so nice.
Of course. You're incredible. And now you have your own show as well.
Oh,
you
just continue. Inheritance show.
We're not plugging Inherited in the last step. But anyway.
No, but genuinely. Yeah. That is also something I say to people when we're I'm like catching up with friends and they're like, how's the show? And I'm like, love, like obviously Louie's amazing.
Yeah,
Ruby's fit like right in so fast.
It's been so fun.
And
I
that is also something
it.
People that say they say to me, they're like, Ruby is like perfect for this show. Oh, so like
I love reading out these secrets. I mean, in the last few episodes I've definitely got tongue-tied. I think my tongue and mouth needs a break. But it's been so, so fun. Like just giggling in this studio. Like literally, like I do edit out a lot of laughs sometimes because there's just so many, but we'll be keeping lots in this episode. Even like I think you sent this in, Belly, when I asked you about like moments from this year, you were like the stat episodes when we do the surveys and like
they're my favorite,
fucking up the numbers each time. Those episodes give me anxiety now. I might need a calculator next year.
Oh. No, but like the fact that like that is you and people love you for you.
I'm just like, oh, fuck it.
And it's so fun. I think it's so telling that like one of our most commonly used phrases now is like, that'll make the cut or like keep it in the edit. But I truly feel like that is like so symbolic of our journey this year where like at the beginning, all that stuff and all of our like quirks and all of our fuck ups, like that would have been edited out. And I think it's just like, we feel the encouragement from the shushies to keep all of that shit
in.
And to just, you know, leave all of those raw moments in.
Yes.
So it's been fun to listen to that like auditory evolution.
Yeah.
And also it's like so relatable on the numbers thing. Because like I don't understand them.
That's why I studied broadcast journalism.
Yeah, that's why we don't deal with
I like to read, but get a number off.
I have a couple of other ones that I just remembered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Friday Wines edition, when we actually did get a bit drunk.
Oh, oh yeah. My God, yeah. Not the wig one, the one before that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the wig episode. I remember that. No, yeah. Episode. Why do we get...
I don't know. I mean, I think we just, it was the first time where we were like having a wine with podcasting. Yeah. And I think you could just kind of sense as the episode continued us getting like drunk and drunk.
I don't think I'd had breakfast yet. Yeah.
No, yeah, because we've recorded these in the morning. Yeah, so yeah. The timing's always a bit weird.
We truly had like 2 glasses of wine at like 11 a.m.
Yeah, we're, like, yeah. We're like, should we go out after this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think we had some Red Rock deli chips too. Also, the pranks, guys. Like, the pranks were iconic this year. The billboard, yes. The mariachi band, the t-shirts for you, Lou.
The billboard day has got to be one of my favourite days of the year.
You were on a billboard in the middle of Melbourne CBD, babe.
And I was in a fucking sun costume. Like, you don't see or hear that every day, do you?
No.
But it was just such a joyous thing being surprised like that. And as we've learned from the year, we have reinvented the meaning of pranks. It's been more of a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. We have managed. I don't know how we got away with this, Belly, because I think in the first episode, that was when, Rubes, you introduced the pranks to us.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think, Belly, you said something like, lol, imagine we're going to do like the nicest pranks ever. I don't know how we managed to swindle the team, but we managed to pull off the nicest pranks.
I know.
The whole point of this whole prank thing was to like be a little spicy.
A bit mean.
Because we needed to add some more like spice in terms of us doing things to each other, which sounds sexual now that I say that out loud. But no, we somehow managed to just like treat each other with these like beautiful, nice things, both a billboard and a birthday surprise. And they have been... Yeah, standouts of the year.
Yeah.
Just been such heartwarming moments and a classic, like, God, I love you sort of thing that we just, like, it's good to just have those moments throughout the year because, yeah, we love this show. We love talking about secrets and we love connecting with you guys. And we also love showing you guys how much we love each other.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that nice?
And our silly sides too. Yeah. Maybe I need to prank you guys next year and make it really mean.
Well, because you are an actress, which we don't talk about enough.
Which we should.
I think that I'm going to be mean next year.
Stream Sleepover Club. Oh, yeah. Everyone stream Sleepover Club.
Don't. You'll see baby
Mal.com. Mal.com where Ruby Hall was the lead. God bless. Oh,
God bless you both. God bless you. Anyway, well, what about...
Pivot.
Anyway,
favorite episode of the year. I think that you guys need to pick one and tell me why this is your favorite episode.
Okay. Because I was worried that I would pick the same one that you picked, Louis.
Yes.
And I think we maybe did. I have a like special shout out to Head versus Heart episode, but that's not my winner.
Okay.
Just mainly because I thought you were amazing in that episode, Louis.
Same. It was really beautiful.
Well, on that note, my favorite episode of the year is... Head versus Heart. I feel like this was the first time on the pod where I got a bit vulnerable and personal, which felt like a welcomed change. You know, there is a facet of me that loves to be silly, silly.
Yeah.
And fun. There is also a side of me that is very introspective.
Oh, yeah.
And emotional.
We like to think around here.
Exactly. We're thinkers. And so, yeah, this episode felt like a welcome change. And it was nice to, you know, discuss the experience. It was the queer relationship.
Yes.
And then, yeah, we got into the chat of the head versus heart. And I spoke about how it's quite commonplace in the queer world to use one's head over the heart in order to assimilate into a heteronormative world and the costs that that has. You know what I mean? And yeah, I spoke a bit about having to use my head and how I felt like, yeah, that was the true detriment of my feelings as I was growing up. Anyway, it was a nice one to talk about. And it was also just funny because... I was getting so deep, but I had also just come off the back of 4 hours sleep from Fashion Week.
I know.
And that was the episode where I was wearing a full hoodie and sunglasses.
We love not knowing the secrets before we get into the studio, before we get into the vault. That was probably like the one occasion this year where we were like, you probably should. We should have known what we were going.
I know. When you walked in, I was like, oh, so, shit.
It was, I mean, you have to laugh at these things because, like, it happened.
it was the one episode where I'm like, you know, I think people probably would have benefited from seeing my eyes. But, you know, I think it just makes it funnier. I was hungover. I didn't want to show my face. And I was getting really, really deep.
But I do think part of the beauty of the show is being able to talk about these really serious personal things whilst also balancing humour, because isn't that what life's about?
Yeah.
We need to be able to manage these hard things with some light and some joy. And so I think that episode was probably a good testament to that and to your ability to do that, to balance those two things. But yeah, that was one of my favourite episodes of the year as well, because just sitting here and having you share that to the vault and also to the thousands of people who listen was a true privilege, and you did incredibly on 4 hours of sleep, which I totally forgot about.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
I loved it. I
mean, touching on what you just said, I think that's why, you know, this show, the recipe, it works so well, because obviously these secrets, one may think when listening to these secrets that they are very niche and like unrelatable. But I think the thing that I love about this podcast is that, of course, like we start the episode by zooming in on a very specific instance. But I feel like each instance is almost like a microcosm for like bigger pictures at play.
Yeah.
You know, it extrapolates into really relatable things that I think we can all go through.
Yeah.
Like the single episode.
Yes.
It's like we ended up just talking the entire episode about being single.
Which is actually my winner for best episode.
Yes.
Wait. This is going to sound rehearsed, but we did not mean to segue into everyone's episode.
I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Because yeah, you're so right. It's like, whilst I really love hearing secrets that I might not be able to relate to and just unpacking it quite like as objectively as we can, my favourite episodes are the ones where we can listen to a story, listen to a secret, and then glean something from it that maybe hits home for us.
Mm.
So that episode, Georgia, she wrote in about singledom and I guess struggling with what she wants, I guess, from this life and in a romantic partner, and how she's maybe struggling to find that at this point in time. That was Do I Give Up on Love Forever, that episode. It also very much felt in that episode like we were reminding ourselves to take that advice as well, or that was me personally anyway. It was
kind of
a weird one where we were very much like, I don't want, like, I know it's annoying to hear this, but it's true. And it is true. And it was kind of a sage reminder for ourselves to be like, it's not the be all end all.
Mm.
And yeah, we don't have to be putting so much pressure on this. And it always is quite nice talking about these stories and then also being able to somehow loop ourselves into it in the least egotistical way possible.
Of course. But I feel like it's in a human nature to want to be able to relate to other people's experiences.
Yeah.
And like the themes are always very relatable, be it like desire, jealousy, pain, fear. Like these are all things that at some point in our lives, to varying degrees, we can sympathize with.
Yeah. Mm. And also on singledom specifically, like being a single person in this day and age, I love consuming content about that.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to release that episode and to have people talk to us about how they felt about it all and like respond to it in their own ways. And so, yeah, it wasn't the most salacious episode at all, but it was definitely one that like hit the heart, the egg on heart. It was very egg on heart.
It was egg on the heart.
Egg on the heart.
Throwback to episode one.
Yeah.
Also, throwback to episode one, Louis wearing the same shirt as he wore in the first episode.
That is wild.
He walked to the door this morning and we were like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
I just can't believe you all remembered that I was wearing the shirt. No, that was a great episode and I loved you talking about your experiences and your thoughts.
Me too.
And I feel like it's always very special for me when you do open up on the pod. We've really unlocked this next stage of vulnerability with each other on mic and also to the audience. And so it's always a pleasure as like a friend and a co-host to, you know, hear you being opening up and being so vulnerable.
Well, right back at you. We did always joke throughout the year about we're entering our vulnerability era.
We said that we would.
We would. Yeah, I think we were a bit hesitant at the very start, just because it's like you often forget when you're in here, the people who are like all the people are going to listen. But it's also a testament. It's a testament to us in this room, but also how comfortable and how like trusting our relationship is with the shushies, because it's like, you know, let's just be vulnerable. This life is a crazy thing. We may as well share our own experiences with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've always found that when we do have those episodes where we have, you know, been the most vulnerable, the response is always so fiercely supportive, and we like always just get like countless messages from people being like, thank you for talking about this. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Well, those two are my favorite as well. Head versus Heart and Do I Give Up on Love Forever? So we're all aligned in the vault. But who knew? We're going to throw to a sponsor right now, and we're doing something very fun at the end of this ad break. So stick around, Trishies.
See you soon.
Hi, Shushies. It's Annabelle here. I wanted to ask you a quick question. What is something you really want next year? Do you want to focus on your health or perhaps go traveling, level up your career maybe, take up a new hobby or re-enter the dating scene? Well, Hinge is here to give you some summer holiday homework. Take it slow. Yep, instead of putting pressure on yourself to achieve all of your personal and relationship goals now, they're encouraging us to ponder their iconic prompt, "This year I want to," so your profile better represents who you are today and what you're looking forward to in the new year. Regularly reflecting on your dating journey is a great way to see how you've grown, get clear on what you're looking for, and connect with all the right people next year. Thank you so much to Hinge for making this episode of Everybody Has a Secret possible.
Well, okay, as it's the last episode of the year. Did you know? It's the last episode of the year. Did you know that? The production team asked us, Annabelle, for our ins and outs for 2025. So what is out? What's staying in 2024? And what's in? What are we bringing in with us to 2025?
I said I wasn't going to read these on the run sheet, and I have accidentally skimmed Louis' ins. I just want to preface this from the top. I went really rogue, and you went more like E-Hass-centric.
Okay, cool.
But
cool.
I went because okay,
stop looking. No, sorry, stop reading them. Stop explaining. Let's just go. Okay, we need to dive in. We need to dive in.
I'll explain later. You go.
You're already like, so these are my thought processes. So here is what I am leaving the fuck in 2024. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, fucking your coworkers at the work Christmas party. I've said this time and time again.
Yeah.
I'm a broken record at this point. If you know me, you know that I stand by going to the work Christmas party, having one, maybe two Proseccos, and then leaving before any shenanigans happen.
So we have Christmas drinks today at Shameless Media. Are you going to cap it at two?
Mind your damn business.
Well, he's not going to fuck anyone then.
It's literally, I'm so excited this afternoon. Hey, everyone, we're having Shameless Christmas drinks, but obviously I am the token man.
Literally the only man coming.
And can I tell you, how obsessed I am with that?
Yeah. You're the only one we'll allow in here.
It literally, harkens back to my primary school. Like, it's always been me and the girls. And that's the way I love it.
Yes.
And that's the way it should always be.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's the way it's going to be today, so enjoy.
So we're leaving fucking your coworkers at a Christmas party in 2024.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I've never experienced it, though. So I'm a bit like, one day.
I mean, for the record, neither have I, but I have just been surrounded by instances where it's happened, and it's never pretty.
Ended the story. Well, we've heard so many. Yes.
The second one that I'm leaving behind in 2024, this may be a controversial one, and I've just thought of this one right now, but it's something I'm so passionate about.
Okay.
In 2024, we are leaving behind glam bots. Red carpet
so
glam
true.
Bots.
Oh,
hear
I love
me out.
That.
At every single fucking, I'm going to get so angry right now. They truly are the bane of my existence. The Grammys come around, the Oscars. It's always that segment when they go on the carpet and there's that guy with the long hair, and then they do this awkward turnaround
the
moment.
The guy with the long hair.
You know the guy?
The guy who does
the glam bots. And it's just like zoom in. Because here is my theory. The glam bot is designed to make everyone just look shit and awkward and uncomfortable. And that's not saying that the people on the red carpet are shit and awkward and uncomfortable. They are nothing of the sort. They're actually really, really, really sexy and attractive.
Yeah.
But the mechanism of this fucking glam bot just makes everyone look fucking stupid.
It's a recipe for cringe. There are too many steps, dare I say, to be a successful video. Like, you need to be, A, hot, but they're all hot. All celebrities, whatever.
Yeah.
You need to, the timing, the face that you pull, it is is kind of okay. Also, let the record show that you didn't write that down on your list.
I didn't.
You just pulled that out of nowhere from here, and I'm glad you did, because that's kind of random, and that ties more in with my random out. So I'm happy
good.
With that.
Because I fucking hate them. And when did we decide as a nation and as a society that we love these glam bots? I think they look shit, and I think truly a picture on the red carpet does the best thing.
A picture, videos, photos, they're hard enough as they are.
Yeah.
Let's not add more elements, complicating factors. I'm not about glam bots.
I'm going on record. Fuck glam bots.
I love that.
A few months ago, we tried to do them in the Shameless Media office. I think it was in like a Shoffice episode or something. And it was one of the most nerve-wracking things I have ever done in my entire life.
No one ever looks good.
Yeah.
Or in comparison to like a photo that they took on the carpet, the photo always looks better.
I need it to be still.
Be still.
Okay, can we just be still for a second?
Be still, my beating heart.
And your third and final out, my dear?
Oh, my final one that I'm leaving behind in 2024 is going on one date and then broadcasting it to the podcasting world.
So whilst we're in our vulnerability era, we are nixing this part of the vulnerableness.
Yeah, because I've learned my lesson. Don't go on one date and then talk about it.
Because we will want updates.
Yeah, because we will want updates.
Absolutely.
There won't be updates.
Oh.
And well, you know, just in that specific instance.
Yeah.
And I think I've just learned that, like, there are some things that you should keep close to your chest. And you'll probably hear about dates that I've gone on in the past that have happened a long time ago, or if I have a husband. I'm not going to talk current day, like, first dates. You know what I mean?
Because
that's too real.
Keep it out.
Belly, what's staying behind in 2024?
I've gone just so random. So what I was going to say before was that when we were tasked with coming up with these ins and outs for the next year or the year that was, I turned to our video lead, Charlotte, and our social media manager, Emma. And I was like, fuck, guys, I have to do this. And Louis is so funny. Like, he's a comedian. He's going to come up with these random, like, fucking funny ins and outs. Help me out here. So we spent like a good 20 minutes at the dining table trying to figure out funny things. So here we go. My first out, rocking chairs. Like, literally, it never once made a mention on the show, rocking chairs. I've never once made a mention on EAD.
Oh, I love this shit. I love the direction you're going
I'm trying to tie it in with experiences we've had.
No, you don't even have to.
Well, because like motion sickness, hello. I'm such a motion sick girly.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to the Gold Coast recently, Louis, to do some sort of campaign.
Yeah.
And we were on a roller coaster of or like a ride, and I was like gonna puke.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's the way I'm gonna tie that in today. Just a reminder that rocking chairs are ones that we forget about in terms of motion sickness, but like we get in them, they're hard to get out of, and all of a sudden we're swinging. We're rocking, the belly is going round and round and round, and it's like, oh, can't do this anymore. So out, never again. I'm never again sitting in a rocking chair. Mark my words, shushies.
I'm obsessed with this.
Bye, rocking chairs.
I back it. Fuck you, rocking chairs.
Yeah, bye.
Not allowed in the vault. You're on the list. My second out is follower tracking apps. So this just came up randomly in the office recently. You know how people have apps and you get like notified when someone unfollows you?
Yeah.
It was a bit of a debate in the office recently. We were like walking to get lunch and someone was like, oh, I saw that like a friend unfollowed me. And then I was like waiting a specific amount of time until I unfollowed that person. And I was like, I've had this before, this app in my youth. And I remember feeling really anxious about them. Mm. And every time like I saw someone unfollowed me, I would get really like, but why? What are the reasons? And I'm just like, enough of that in the new year.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
I back that.
Great. Yes. My final out is heaters. And this actually is quite relevant to the vault because I feel like as someone who runs hot.
Heaters are out. Are you kidding? We live in Melbourne.
No, but hear me out. We live in Melbourne. It does get cold in winter.
Yeah.
Put a fucking jumper on. You know what I mean?
I can't.
I love this.
It's like, okay, it is a bit like, come on, the environment.
Mm.
Am I right?
Mm.
But that being said, this isn't necessarily about the environment whilst we need to be, you know, pulling back reheaters.
Shout out to the environment.
We stand the environment. But if you're hot, aircon for sure. Like, we're still here for aircons, but we're like, no more heaters. Because like, what's the point of like adding too much heat?
Oh, see, I'd be the opposite. I'd put aircons out and heaters definitely in. I froze to death last winter here.
No.
Yeah, I need to be warm, girl.
But if you don't have a, like,
you
do run cold, hey. That's how we're different in that way.
Yeah,
what about a few differences?
I need to be cozy.
I just feel like you can be cozy, though, with enough layers on, like a blanket, pants, jumper, whereas you can't, if you're fully naked, say, and it's like 35 degrees and there's no aircon on, I will still be like head to toe sweating, dripping in sweat.
To give you a bit of a BTS, listeners, bit of BTS, inside the vault, it's famously a sauna. Yeah. I feel like we talk about that so often. But it is famously a sauna, and right now we are 50 degrees. And so that feels so prevalent for the vault, but also in life. Just, yeah, no heaters, but aircons, yes.
Aircons, yes. Our video team constantly, they were like, are you sure you want to expose yourself on the pod, read this? But I will. Because our video team are always saying that the hardest part of their job when it comes to editing EHAS videos from the episode is having to cut away me wiping away like my face. Because I'm always like dabbing my face trying to make sure I'm not sweating. And they're like, it's a constant battle.
Oh, stop.
So just, yeah, that's breaking the fourth wall. That's a bit of insight for you.
Cutting away from my sweat patches.
All right, what about 2025? What about ins?
Okay, now we go to 2025.
Yes.
Positivity.
Oh, I believe I'm starting.
Oh, go for ins. It.
All right, so I'll start with the most obvious one that I won't labor on about because I've done that before. YOLO.
Yeah.
In. So in.
Yeah, you only live once.
The little known acronym that like no one's ever used before. Annabelle's bringing it in.
Although some people
it's
in
a thing called YOLO.
Some people in the comments were saying that we should change it to you only actually live one time because Emily cut a video together with all the YOLOs from episodes that I've said that in. And I think I said you only actually live one time. Some people were saying that we should make it YOALOT.
YOLOT. YOLOT.
You only actually live one time.
Yeah, you only actually live one time because I've always said that. Yes. And that's so profound. So,
exactly. So I feel like we don't need to say anymore because it's like, oh, obviously.
YOLOT.
YOLOT. The second one, here comes another rogue one, Coles Coffees.
Yes.
So another thing you guys don't know about me is that I love to get a $2 Coles coffee.
They're yum.
Oh, which that is actually something that you guys do know about me. I love to pinch pennies here and there.
Totally.
When I can, I will get a $2 Coles coffee because like I can't really taste the difference, if I'm being so honest with you.
Be so real with us.
I don't have taste buds. And so, yeah, I love Coles coffee. Any sort of like 7-Eleven coffee, whatever it is, a $2 coffee is my jam.
I love that.
Just thought I'd spread the word about Coles coffees in case anyone was like living under a rock.
Yeah.
My third and final in, inventing words and saying them confidently. Which, again, I feel like I haven't specifically mentioned on the show before, but like you'll probably know that I've done it before, maybe. Like, have I done it before on this show? I'll give you some examples. Okay, so this isn't it, but I've been saying cutie a lot recently.
I love
that
cutie.
Is a word. I've been saying it in the wrong context. Like, cutie is more of a, you're looking at me like, where's she going with this? So I've been saying like, oh my God, that's so cutie. An example of making up a word would be like, that's so cutie per queen. Like, cutie patootie/queen.
Cutie per queen.
Cutie per queen. I think we should just start saying words that don't make sense without having to explain what it means.
Yeah.
Just you just taking a stab in the dark and guessing what it means.
Let's just go forth into this year saying random shit and just not explaining it.
And I think that's really fun for a podcast host, maybe not so much for a listener. So let me know what you think about that one, if you are yay or nay on that. But I'm really feeling like it's a yes.
No, my cutie per queens get it. they understand. They're great ones for 2025.
Yeah, and that's words I'm going to live by for next year.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you, my dear.
Okay, 2025. Everyone, we're holding hands, okay? Everyone, let's be nice to our bridesmaids, okay?
True.
Let's be nice to our bridesmaids.
Yeah.
We've seen time and time again what happens when there are bridezillas, when there are dramas between the bridal and the groom parties. Like, let's just enjoy weddings and just not be cunts.
Yeah.
So true.
While we're on that, number two.
Whoa, straight into it.
Let's all delete Snapchat.
Yeah, get rid.
Wow, yes.
And like, I guess like a caveat to that is like, don't send dick on Snapchat.
No.
No one wants to see it.
Yeah. Just send photos of nice things that are going on in your life if you want to still use Snapchat.
And the final one.
Yes.
The final in for 2025.
Whoa, this is a huge moment.
Bullying your friends if they aren't a shushy.
Oh my God, that's why our producing team wanted to end on that one.
I love that
that's
one.
So true.
Yeah.
If they don't listen to the pod, if someone's like, what's a shushy? Just bully them.
If someone's like, what's a shushy, that really hurts my soul.
Oh.
Yeah, send them a link. Light bullying, obviously. Like, KVO, we're not here for bullying.
Nah, right? go to town. Daddy recommends it. Go to town in 2025. If they aren't a shushy, they deserve it.
We'll make more shushies next year. We've got the live show as That's well coming so in 2025. True. So if your friends aren't one, bring them along and bully them and they'll become one that night.
Yay!
Yay!
Be a shushie. If you're not a shushie, be a shushie.
Be a shushie.
Guys, those are so good, those ins and outs. I love it. But I'm definitely going to be keeping the heater, sorry, in 2025, Belly. That's the one I will disagree with, that I love it.
I'll allow it in winter, I guess, because I love you. Just don't force it upon me and then I'll be happy.
Okay.
That
no
was
worries.
Such a lovely exercise. Oh, my recapping God. Recapping the year that was.
This has been a great episode. I feel like whenever we have time to just talk our shit, to reflect, it is truly, truly just the most fun. And I want to do our own mini-sodes where we just, like, talk shit away from the secrets.
Yeah.
Because I have seen some of those requests being like, we just want to hear you have chats from time to time.
With a wine in hand.
With a wine in hand.
Yeah. No, well, that is one of the best parts of my week when we just get to yap on mic.
Well, who knows what next year will bring, 2025.
I know.
Watch out.
It's we have many, many exciting things in store for you. But for now, we have to go on our two-week break.
Yeah.
And it has been such a great year. We want to thank you guys as well for sticking with us throughout the year and really building this community with us. It's been amazing. It has been the best part of my year for sure, this show. So thank you for being a part of that, Shushies. Thank you, Louie. Thank you, Ruby, for being here as well. It's been incredible.
And just, like, shake ass for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Let loose.
Go out there, flirt. Like, let your hair down. Do taekwondo lessons or drink 4 Proseccos, but not an office party, obviously.
No.
And we look forward to hearing all of your stories and catching up in the new year.
Yeah.
And remember to YOLO a lot.
YOLO a lot.
Yeah, we'll see you on the 10th of January when we're back from our two-week Christmas break. Bye, Shushi.
Bye, love Shushi. You all.
Yay.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.